beginning of Siman Reish Samach Beis, first couple of sifim talk about the requirement that an aveda has to be a pruta, worth or at least a pruta, in order for there to be an obligation of a shalas aveda. Discusses different criteria. Pruta at the time it was lost, pruta at the time it was found. Basically, has to be worth at least a pruta. A pruta is a very small amount. It's always used in Chazal to mean a tiny amount, de minimis. As a matter of fact, pruta, like many of the shiurim in halacha that have to do with amounts of money, are not, as we would say today, pegged to dollars or a basket of goods and services. They're pegged to the price of silver, and then they're fixed even as the price of silver goes up or down, the value of the pruta goes up or down. People who calculate how much a pruta is today put it on the order of around a penny. It's not a lot of money, so most things you find that are worth anything are going to be worth at least a pruta. But nevertheless, contemporary poskim do discuss cases that are not worth even a pruta. I don't really know if you have a used sock or something. These types of things you find, they don't really have a real market value. You can't go. I guess you can sell them as rags. You can sell them as just by weight or something. I don't know how if there's any market at all for used socks. But in theory, at least, they discuss things like maybe an even more common example would be your notes. I have notes on Shulchan Aruch, and nobody else but me would particularly want copies of my notes. So let's say they're personal letters or photographs are not worth anything to the general public. Post can discuss cases like this. Is there a din of Hashoah Saveda? Now, obviously, what I'm alluding to here is that these types of things are actually worth a lot, can be worth a lot to the person who lost them. They just, so subjective value, personal value, they aren't worth all that much to the, or anything, they aren't worth anything to the general public. This is actually a question, a very important question that comes up throughout Choshen Mishpat, not just in Hashoah Saveda, it comes up in damages, and mazik, and shomrim, all types of cases. We've discussed this in the past, how do we assign value to something? Do we look at the subjective value it had to the owner? Do we look at the value it has to the general public on the open market? There's a major machlokes about it, and in Hashoah Saveda, to some extent, posts can make analogies to the regular halachas. They're actually svaras. Hashoah Saveda is better or worse, and so I want to discuss tonight a little bit some of the shitas about how to calculate value for purposes of Hashoah Saveda. Do you look at the subjective value of the person who lost it, or the general value to the finder, or to the general public? Now, just for concreteness' sake, we can distinguish between three or four types of cases. We have a case of something which is purely subjective, like the example of the personal letters, sentimental value, photographs. You can't really put a price tag on it at all, but personally I want it because it means something to me. You can have a case where you really can put a price on it. It's not really transferable. You can't sell it, but there's a definite concrete economic value to me. The classic example of that would be I go to a tailor and I have him make me a custom suit. I can't really sell it to anybody else because it's not tailored the right way for him, and it wouldn't fit him, it wouldn't be designed for him. Yet to me it has value. It's not subjective in the sense that it's sentimental. You can put a dollar and cents figure on it. This tailor charges $800 for a suit, the material costs this, and replacing it would cost a very well-defined amount. So that's subjective in the sense that it's not transferable to anybody else. You can't sell it and get that much money for it, but there's a very clear dollar and cents value, a very well-defined economic value to the property. There is a third case post can discuss that has to do with paired items. In a case, the classic case discussed by the postkim going back several centuries, let's say you have a pair, they used to discuss earrings today, the common example given is shoes. The classic case was you have a pair of earrings which together are worth $100. A single earring is only worth $30 because it's not a pair. You can't do as much with it unless someone wants to wear one earring or to make a second one to match it. That's more expensive, so it might be worth less. I show us that the earrings are still going to be worth more than a pruta usually if they're real jewelry. It's always going to be worth a pruta. The shoes, some posts can say, might be a case. A child shoe, a child slipper, two of them is worth something, maybe worth something even though they're used. That's the other question. If they use them, they're worth something to you, they're not worth anything to anybody else. One of them is virtually worthless. You can't really do anything with a shoe. It might be worth less than a pruta. So all these cases, both in Hashoah Saveda and elsewhere in Choshen Mishpat, poskim debate whether the value we should look at the subjective value. The second earring to me is worth a fair amount of money because it matches the first one I have. My personal notes or my letters or my photographs are worth a lot to me, not worth anything to anybody else. Or the other case, the case of the custom-made stuff, is worth something to me, it might not be worth anything to anybody else, because even though anybody would pay, let's say, even if we assume that most people would pay for a custom-made suit, and not everyone would, obviously it's a luxury item, but even to the extent that we assume they would, people pay for glasses, but I can't sell my glasses. Maybe you can get a pruta for them, so Ashar Zaveda, arguably they're still worth a pruta, but in general, even if it's not worth anything to anybody else, or not worth very much, but to me it's worth something, and again, it's a well-defined economic value. It's a $100 pair of glasses, and I can't transfer to you because they're already custom designed for me. So all these cases, post-com debate for Ashar Zaveda and elsewhere, is do we look at the subjective value to the person whose property it is, or do we look at the general value on the open market? So it's actually interesting. And Ashar Zaveda specifically, some of the tshuvas that arise actually occur, of all places, in Hilchos Aguna and Eben Ezer. The reason for that is that there is a major subtopic in Eben Ezer where poskim, one of the ways of identifying a body, if you find a body and the body is not intact enough to recognize who it is, so one of the ways the halacha allows you to identify a body is by looking at his accessories, clothing or other things, and the rules are very complex. What's considered a reliable ID? But sometimes you can do that. You can identify a body by his personal effects. The problem always is, let's say he's wearing a pair of pants that you know used to belong to the lost individual. Maybe he lent his pants to somebody else. Maybe he sold his pants. Yeah, how do you know that it's his personal, that's actually his? Maybe someone else got it. Maybe he lost his pants and someone else found it hanging on the closet. It got lost in the laundry. Someone else picked it up. So the post can discuss these things. Are we choshish for she'ela? We're not choshish for she'ela. And one of the things they talk about is aveda. Are we choshish for aveda or not? The post can, in the course of this discussion, start talking about Ashavas Aveda. So one
of choshish that he's wearing something he found?
Right. Are you choshish that this person is not the guy who we think he is? And even though, you know, we're trying to establish whether Reuven is dead or alive. We haven't seen Reuven in a year and a half.
Aveda means that he found the pyramid.
That's one of the possibilities, right? We're choshish. This is really Shimon, and Shimon happened to find Reuven's pants. Like, I lost in the laundry, and he's wearing Reuven's pants. So the post can discuss these types of things, and one of the things they discuss is if you find on the dead person, you find papers, you find personal letters or photographs, or you find a passport or dog tags, things like this. Post can discuss, is there any realistic possibility that it was lost by the owner and found by this guy? So, and in the context of that, they start discussing Ashar Zaveda for reasons that are a little technical, but they start discussing whether there would be a chiyav. So one of the things they talk about, the Beis Yitzchak, they talk about is there a chiyav Ashar Zaveda on a passport? A passport is a valuable document. People pay a lot of money for it. It gives you valuable traveling privileges, other kinds of privileges. On the other hand, you can't buy or sell passports. I mean, you can, but it's illegal, and it's we don't encourage that kind of thing. So the question is, a passport which is non-transferable, there's no real market in passports, certainly no legal market in passports, would there be a chiyav Ashar Zaveda? Same type of shaila. It's subjective to the owner. Has a very solid value, and it's easy to put a price tag on it. It costs whatever it costs to get a passport. But it's not transferable. It can't be bought and sold. It has no real market. So the Beis Yitzchak, in a widely quoted tshuva, it's really, again, it's really very peripheral. He's really discussing it. I go to Shaila, but in a few lines in the course of his tshuva, he says there would be no chiyav Ashar Zaveda on a passport because it has no general public market value, even though it is valuable to you personally. Now, in general, Choshen Mishpat, the post can discuss if you damage or lose somebody's passport, someone asks you to watch his passport and you're negligent and you lose it, or if you damage it, you toss it in the garbage by mistake, if you toss it in the fire for some reason, post can discuss whether you're chayav for damaging a passport. And again, there are several shailas. One of them is the same question. It's not something that has general value. It has value to the specific owner. Here we actually have a machlokas. The Sholem Eishev has a tshuva of Nathanson where he says he takes for granted that a passport is something which is valuable, and therefore you are chayav for damaging it or losing it if you're supposed to be watching it. While others, including the Beis Yitzchak himself, has a tshuva where he discusses another tshuva where he discusses the responsibility of losing someone's passport. He says no. Similar to what he says by Ashar Zaveda, he says no. A passport is not something that has a general market value. Therefore, halacha does not assign, even though it's worth money to you, halacha doesn't give it. And objectively, it's not considered to have value, and therefore, you would not be chayav for losing or destroying somebody's passport. There's a tshuva in the Evan Shasiya who has a very interesting distinction. He says it depends. He comes out that it depends on the situation. If you're at home and you can function. You're living where you're living. You're at the place where you live. You can get around without a passport. You would like a passport so you can go travel, but you can basically function at home. You have your job. You have your grocery store. You have your life over here. You're just restricted in what you can do. Then he says, if someone lost your passport when you were home, you would not be chayev. If, however, you're on the road, you're away from home, you can't function without a passport. He says, you're stuck. You can't do anything without a passport. Then he says, you'd be chayev. And the reason for this distinction, he says, is he quotes a very important and fairly controversial piece in the Nesivos HaMishpat, which many posts can also bring in the context of Ashas Aveda. The Nesivos establishes a potentially very far-reaching rule. He says that if there is, again, he said that this basic shallow we're discussing, if there is property, he says, that has value only to you specifically, it's something which isn't worth anything to the general public. To me, it's worth a lot of money. And someone else goes ahead and destroys that, the Nesivos says that that the person's not chayev because property or value, ownership, something that's only worth something to you and is not worth something to anybody else, is not something which is considered to have value for halachic purposes. Evan Shesia says, therefore, in the case where you're at home, so your passport does have value to you, you pay money for it, you need it, you want it, but you can function without it. So it's just a question of the passport's worth money. Says Evan Shesia, no, it's not worth money. So according to the Nesivos, since it's only worth to you, it doesn't have general value, then you are not chayev, based on the Nesivos. However, he says, when you're on the road, you can't function, you have to buy the passport. That's like he was goring, he caused you to have to spend the money, because you can't do anything without it. In that case, he says you're chayev because he forced you to spend the money. But in general, the mere fact the passport has value, if you're not forced to buy a new one, passport is not considered to have value for the purposes of halacha because it doesn't have value to the general public.
Presumably, I'm at home, but I have a trip planned to Israel next week.
That's an interesting question. If you already have the plane tickets, then you're going to have to either lose the plane ticket or just drastically change your plans. That at some point, that might become the equivalent of being away. Yeah, one could argue that, I think. Yes, I don't think he discusses that, but I think that would, again, be moving in that direction toward similar to the case where you're away from home. This Nesivos is fairly controversial. There are some poskim who seem to accept it. So, for example, the Marcheshes, in another tshuva, also discussing Ashoras Aveda and the context of an Aguna, he also discussed this point, and he actually inclined toward the Nesivos. That's something that has no value to the general public. He says, wouldn't be considered, according to the Nesivos, we wouldn't be chayev for destroying it, for losing it. You're not chayev Ashoras Aveda. He says, and even if you disagree with the Nesivos, even if you say that as long as something has subjective value to the owner, it is considered mamon, you are chayev if you damage it, you are chayev if you lose it, he says. When it comes to Ashoras Aveda, you're still not chayev. He says Ashoras Aveda is actually more lenient than everything else, and the reason he gives is the same way the Shulchan Aruch says there are two conditions. It has to be worth a pruta, both at the time it was lost and at the time that it was found. So too, he says Ashoras Aveda would have a special halacha that it has to be worth a pruta both to the loser and to the finder. It would be like Gzeiras HaKasuv. Not enough that has value in general, has to have value to both these people, the finder and the loser. Other posts can go just the opposite. Other posts can seem to argue that even if in the rest of Chosh and Mishpat you would say that something that only has subjective value, you're not chayev for losing or damaging, Hashavas Aveda, you might be more chayev because the Torah, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago, the Torah in general, that there are posts can say that even when you're not dealing with something that has value, I'm a chayev to do whatever I can to forestall any kind of loss to you. If I find we have a case where my cow is running around or my car is running around, it's going to get a ticket, I'm going to get a ticket, I'm going to have a loss. Even if the car or the cow is not going to get lost, you have a chiyuv to do things to stop me from getting hurt in any way. Some poskim say, for Ashoras Aveda, we don't care necessarily whether the property itself is a pruta or not. As long as there's a pruta of loss to the owner, that's all we care. So we don't look at the narrow question, is this particular concrete property something which is worth a pruta? We look at the broader question, is there a pruta's worth of difference to the owner? And if the answer to that question is yes, then there will be a chiyuv of Ashoras Aveda. I saw in one contemporary writer talks about a case of someone, I don't think the facts are correct, based on American law at least, but he talks about a case where somebody had a torn $100 bill. It was torn in two parts, and one of them got lost. So that part itself, he says, is worthless, but if he has both halves, he can present the bill and pass it, and it'll be legal tender. So he discusses, he compares it to the case of the earrings, kind of, where you have two things, and each one by itself is not a pruta. Together, they're worth a pruta. And under the American rules, I think the rules are pretty clear. If either half is more than 50% of the bill, then that half can be taken into a bank and they'll exchange it for a proper bill. If the half that you have is less than 50%, then you can't do anything with it. So in the case of the bill that was torn in half, assuming I don't know, Yev Shlo Tzamtzim, assuming they aren't exactly equal. So if he still has the half that's 100, if his half that he still has in his desk is more than 50%, you don't even have to bother giving him back your half. He can cash his half by itself. If his half is less than 50 and the half you found is 50, then your half is mamish mamon. Your half is negotiable as money. So I'm not sure how the shalabi nagah, but in principle at least, let's talk about the case of the earrings. But it's, some contemporary writers discuss this case too. You find a child shoe, so it's not worth anything. One shoe by itself, one used child shoe, is not going to be worth anything. But if it gets back to the owner, where he'll have both shoes and the kid uses those shoes, that is worth a pru to him. Yes, he can avoid buying new shoes. So contemporary poskim, Rav Moshe, Rav Yashiv, and others are quoted as saying that in such a case, they would be mitzvah shas aveda, either because they disagree with the nesivos and they say that even subjective value is considered mamon and choshen mishpat, or because they say shas aveda has a looser standard, a more general standard, that as long as there is a pruta worth of benefit and of averting loss to the owner, even if the property itself can't be assigned an objective value of a pruta, there still would be a mitzvah shas aveda. It doesn't seem all poskim would agree with this, but the contemporary writers, at least lechatchila, they say, I guess it's kind of no downside. What do you gain by keeping the shoe? I guess you gain the trouble, not having to bother with looking for the owner. You certainly have no real yetzer to keep it. You'd rather find the owner, but elamai the tircha of having to bother with it, that they say, at least lechatchila, a person, it seems that contemporary poskim are noted to the idea that a person should lechatchila try to return it, even if you can make these technical arguments and that based on the rules of the rest of the choshen mishpat, it might not be considered to have halachically defined value.